Today, on The Exam Room.
Our study actually showed that a plant-based diet can be a breakthrough for people with type 1 diabetes.
And I don't want to spoil it here, but we're talking about a pretty significant reduction in the amount of insulin that a person ordinarily would need, correct?
That's exactly right. And a decreased insulin dose, which comes with health benefits, but also financial benefits and cost savings.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the Exam Roomies listening in Columbus, Ohio, Lancaster, California, and Warsaw, Poland. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 38 of season 7, number 537 overall. And today we are going to be talking about a breakthrough study on type 1 diabetes. Now, just imagine this. Imagine being able to slash the amount of insulin you need by over 25% just by changing your diet. Your sensitivity to insulin, that also goes up more than twofold. Your weight and your cholesterol, they go down, and your risk of having a heart attack or a stroke also drops by approximately 20%, all by changing your diet. Now, imagine that dream is a reality, because those are the findings of a new study by Dr. Hanna Kaliova and her team of researchers here at the Physicians Committee. And she is joining us to discuss these exciting revelations that came from her research. And she has a beautiful presentation in store for us today. And it's really going to help out the millions of people who right now are living with type 1 diabetes around the world. Stay tuned for that, but before we get going, some live appearances to tell you about. I'm going to be speaking at the Lifestyle Medicine Pathway to Health and Happiness Symposium in Rochester, Minnesota on May 16th and 17th. And Dr. Neil Barnard, by the way, also will be in Rochester a little bit before that, just a few days, on May 10th. He's going to be there for the Power Foods Diet Lecture Series, diving into the science about permanent weight loss from his latest book. And then back up north, I'm going to be heading to Vancouver, love that town, for the Planted Expo on June 1st and 2nd. Now, ticket information and links to get your tickets, all of them are in the episode notes. But right now, let's get going. Let's get going with this groundbreaking research on type 1 diabetes. I am pumped up for this. Dr. Hanna Kaliova, she joins us on the Exam Room. Dr. Kaliova, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
This is exciting. We call it groundbreaking research because it really is. A lot of people who have type 1 diabetes, Dr. Kaliova, think, I've got it now and there's really not much I can do about it, so I'm just going to live with it. But you and your team of researchers have found out that diet still plays a huge role in type 1 diabetes.
That's exactly right. Almost 13% of the U.S. population have diabetes. The majority of the cases is type 2 diabetes. That has been the main focus of our research, for quite some time. And now we moved into the area of type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune condition, and it's usually diagnosed during childhood or adolescence. And about 40,000 new cases are diagnosed in the U.S. each year. And, the conventional wisdom is, count your carbs and dose your insulin accordingly. But our study actually showed that a plant-based diet can be a breakthrough for people with type 1 diabetes.
So when we're talking about a breakthrough, I think that that's huge given the cost of medication, given the cost of treatment. And I don't want to spoil it here, but we're talking about a pretty significant reduction in the amount of insulin that a person ordinarily would need, correct?
That's exactly right. And a decreased insulin dose, which comes with health benefits, but also financial benefits and cost savings.
All right. And for those who aren't really 100% familiar, kind of glossed over this a little bit, but the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes is what now?
So this is an excellent question. Diabetes is a condition characterized by a high blood sugar level, you know, or sustained high blood sugar levels. Now, in both cases, insulin resistance and beta cell dysfunction are involved as pathophysiologic mechanisms. What is insulin resistance? It's when your pancreas is working, your beta cells in the pancreas are still releasing insulin, but your cells are not as sensitive to its function. They're kind of like the door lock is jammed and the glucose cannot get inside the cells because the insulin receptors are not, reacting properly. So that's insulin resistance. And there's also a component of beta cell dysfunction or ultimately failure, where the number of beta cells in the pancreas is just decreasing over the course of the disease in both cases, in both type 2 and type 1 diabetes. And eventually it reaches a point where the pancreas is not working sufficiently to offset the high blood sugar levels. And we're talking about in type 2 diabetes, the insulin resistance being more on the forefront. And in type 1 diabetes, it's more the beta cell dysfunction and ultimately failure being the frontier. But both of these mechanisms are involved in both cases. And this is critical to understand because in our study, we actually improved the insulin sensitivity component in type 1 diabetes also. And that led to lower insulin dose and lower insulin requirements in these people.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the study. I know that you've done what Dr. Kaliova does best and put together a fantastic presentation for us. So what I'm going to do is I will pull the slides up for the benefit of people who are watching on YouTube and Facebook right now. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, we're going to drop a link to the presentation as well in the show description for you. So with that said, Dr. Kaliova, I'm going to turn the stage completely over to you and take it away.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Chuck. So the effect of a dietary intervention on insulin requirements in type 1 diabetes. We did a 12-week randomized clinical trial, but let's take a step back and let's review the nutrition goals in general for people with type 1 diabetes, and then we'll explore the benefits of a plant-based diet for people with type 1 diabetes. So what can be actually achieved? What's reasonable to expect with nutrition for people with type 1 diabetes? Well, the nutrition goals are well beyond glycemic control. It's not only about blood sugar control. We want to improve all the cardiometabolic markers, such as body weight and blood pressure and blood lipids. We also want to see an improved quality of life and delayed complications of diabetes. Now, we know that the risk of dying from any cause is higher in people with type 1 diabetes compared with non-diabetic population. And this gap increases with the duration of diabetes. And that's mainly because of the cardiovascular deaths, the heart disease and the myocardial infarction. Now, the DCCT EDIC study in over 1,400 participants with a follow-up of 30 years showed that an increased insulin dose is associated with a higher body mass index. So people who use insulin for quite some time, they tend to be heavier and put on some weight over time. It's also associated with a higher heart rate and impaired blood lipids. So it's in other words, it's associated with a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. Each 0.1 unit of insulin per kilogram per day was associated with a 6% increased risk of cardiovascular disease in this study. Now, what can we do with nutrition? The conventional wisdom is just count carbs and, you know, calculate how many units of insulin you need for each meal. And that's it. About, like, you know, stay away from the complete junk, try to eat generally healthy. But that's about the conventional wisdom. Now, we know that in type 2 diabetes, a plant-based diet can reverse the course in many cases. Sometimes people get rid of their diabetes, completely. Sometimes we see significant improvements. And it's because a plant-based diet has been shown to improve insulin sensitivity, so reverse the insulin resistance, which is one of the main core mechanisms behind diabetes, both type 2 and type 1. And we've also shown that a plant-based diet is actually able to improve the beta cell function, but this was done in people who are overweight and did not have any diabetes. So the question is, what can a plant-based diet do for people with type 1 diabetes? And these are the findings that have just been published in the journal Clinical Diabetes. It's a journal by the American Diabetes Association. We enrolled 58 people with type 1 diabetes and assigned them randomly to follow either a low-fat vegan diet that consisted of fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes, or follow a portion control diet where you count the carbs and count your calories. And both groups followed the diet for 12 weeks. Now, the portion control diet, we told them to watch their portions, watch their carbs, and also limit the cholesterol and saturated fat intake. The low-fat vegan diet, we told them eat only vegan foods, no animal products. Keep the fat content up to 30 grams per day and favor foods with a low glycemic index. That means use pumpernickel bread instead of white bread when you can. Brown rice over white rice, and so on. All participants used Dexcom G6, which is a continuous glucose monitoring system. So you basically wear a sensor under your skin, and you have access to your sugar levels like throughout the whole day. And by sharing the data with us, the research team had also access to the data. It was pretty cool. You know, I was just like sitting at my laptop, opening up like the blood sugar of each participant at any time. It was amazing. Now, we encouraged people to also track all the meals using an app that's called Chronometer, which is a free app that you can download. It shows you, like the nutritional breakdown. We asked them to do this because it was important to know how many carbohydrates they consumed with each meal. So with this app, you just put down like all the ingredients of a meal, and voila, in a few seconds, you have how many grams of carbohydrate you're consuming, and that helps you estimate how much insulin you need. And we analyzed the 3-day diet records at baseline and then at the end of the study. We tracked insulin sensitivity as a ratio between total carbohydrates and total insulin dose. And our participants also went to get their labs at LabCorp after an overnight fast. The primary outcomes were total daily insulin dose, insulin sensitivity, and A1C as a marker of glycemic control. The secondary outcomes included body weight, blood lipids, and also kidney function, defined as blood urea nitrogen and bun-to-creatinine ratio. And we used ANOVA for repeated measures for statistical analysis. Now, let's look at the changes in both groups. Let's start with the nutrition, with changes in their nutrition. The energy intake did not change significantly in either group. In the vegan group, the carbohydrate intake increased significantly, while the fat intake dropped significantly and protein stayed about the same. On the portion control diet, people basically kept the ratio between the macronutrients. Now, let's look at the results. Total daily insulin dose did not change on the portion control diet, but it dropped by 12 units a day on average in the vegan group, which is about 28% on average. There were people who dropped their insulin dose by 50%, 50. That's huge. Insulin sensitivity increased significantly on the vegan diet with and no change on the portion control diet. The increase on the vegan diet was more than 100%. It was just incredible. The A1C was reduced as a marker of glycemic control was reduced in both groups with no significant difference between the diets. Body weight did not change on the portion control diet, but it was reduced by 11.5 pounds or 5.2 kilograms on the vegan diet. Total cholesterol dropped more on the vegan diet. LDL cholesterol was reduced only on the vegan diet. And now kidney function improved significantly. Blood urea nitrogen dropped on the vegan diet, and the bun-to-creatinine ratio was reduced on the vegan diet as well. So in summary, the portion control diet improved the A1C as a marker of glycemic control and total cholesterol. That's it. The vegan diet improved all the outcomes. It reduced the demand for insulin. It improved insulin sensitivity. It improved glycemic control, total and LDL cholesterol. It reduced body weight, and it also improved kidney function. So the vegan diet was superior compared with the portion control diet because it improved all the cardiometabolic outcomes. And I mean, reducing the insulin dose, that's kind of unheard of, you know, in terms of what nutrition can do. Now, an important question is there any benefit of a vegan diet beyond weight loss? Because someone may be thinking, well, of course, these people lost weight, it improved their insulin sensitivity, and that's why their insulin requirements were reduced. Well, to answer the question if there's any benefit beyond weight loss, we standardized insulin dose per kilogram of body weight. So no change on the portion control diet, but a 24% reduction on the vegan diet. And that was a reduction of 0.15 units of per kilogram per day. And this reduction in insulin dose would translate into a reduction in cardiovascular risk by 9%. But there were, you know, other improvements as well. So the reduction in A1C by 0.8% on the vegan diet would correspond to a 12% reduction in cardiovascular risk. And the 20% reduction in LDL cholesterol would correspond to a 20% reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. So like the health benefits are just incredible. And we're not even talking about how insulin is expensive and that people were saving money on insulin. So in short, you know, when you want to choose the best diet for type 1 diabetes, the low-fat vegan diet is the way to go. So let me unshare my screen and open it up for questions.
Yeah, that is fascinating stuff. While you were talking, I was like, all right, how many people are using insulin on a daily basis just here in the U.S.? And it turns out that it's over 9 million people. So I guess my first question is, have you heard from any pharmaceutical companies yet over the course of the month when the study's been out, who maybe Dr. Kaliova aren't exactly too happy with the findings that you and your team found?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chuck. Have you seen the headlines that some forms of insulin, you know, have lower availability these days, and you know, you cannot even get some kinds of insulin and some brands. So you know, the findings are critical. Some pharma companies may not be happy about it, but yeah, it's for the benefit of people. As always, as you know, that's why we do our research.
No question about it. And you mentioned the cost. There was a 3-year stretch between 2020 and 2023 where I believe the cost of insulin rose by more than 50%. I think it was 54% over that stretch. Yeah. And yeah, we have seen some decreases, but they've been modest compared to that huge surge. I think we're talking about maybe a 10% decrease since that time. And so it is incredibly expensive. And then I think back to the findings of a previous study that you did where you were looking at the cost of eating a whole food plant-based diet and how inexpensive that can be, even compared to the standard diet that we're all used to eating. And it's just mind-blowing. So for me, you're saving, one, you're saving money at the bank, but two, as a diabetes sufferer, you very well could be saving your life as well. That's two very big wins, Dr. Kaliova.
Absolutely. We're talking about thousands of dollars each year that people with diabetes spend on insulin and, you know, some of the technology they need for managing their diabetes, but also on medications for their high blood pressure, for their blood lipids. And so if we can save them, you know, a significant portion of this money that's set aside for medical costs. Plus, they can also save on groceries. Come on. You can have a nice vacation and, you know, still have more money in the bank.
That's a win-win for sure. And I want to ask you kind of a technical question about the study as well. You're talking about giving them a chronometer, asking them to log the foods to track their micros and macronutrients. I'm curious, beyond the parameters that you give them, as far as just low fat or anything like that, was there anything specific that you gave them in terms of a menu that they needed to follow? Or was it just, here are your parameters, do the best that you can within them?
Yeah, they were able to choose whichever meals, you know, they liked. We gave them some suggestions, and a dietitian also worked with them individually to make sure they know exactly, you know, what they're gonna eat. But the exact menu was up to them. We gave them suggestions that came from Dr. Barnard's book and cookbook on reversing diabetes. You could have for breakfast, you could have oatmeal with berries or tofu scrambled, but you could have also leftovers from last night, some bean burritos or vegetable soup. People were able to just put their preferences into their meal choices.
More definitely to come. That is exciting stuff. Dr. Kaliova, thank you so very much for your research. As always, fascinating findings, and I commend you and your team for another groundbreaking study. Thanks so much. One more reminder that if you would like to see the data in action, you can watch Dr. Kaliova's entire presentation on YouTube. There's a link for you right now in the episode notes. So, true story to share here. When I first heard about this study, I emailed my friend Cyrus Kambata from Mastering Diabetes. You know Cyrus, he's been on the show before. He's living with type 1 diabetes. And I said, hey, Cyrus, I just wanted to put this on your radar. And I attached a copy of the study. And he's like, hey, dude, I'm involved in the study. I'm one of the researchers. And I'm like, don't, like Homer Simpson, don't. I was like, pardon my enthusiasm, sir. I'm sorry about that. Not exactly the highlight of my work week at all, but I just get so ramped up about these facts. I love being able to share them. I get so excited about that. So, yeah, I guess read a little bit more closely before you share, but share nonetheless, because this is exciting stuff. So, about type 1 diabetes, a little bit more here. I went and I pulled some stats after I spoke with Dr. Kaliova that I think are really important to share because it really helps to frame the importance of this study. And so these stats come to us from the type 1 diabetes index. And here in the United States, about 1.5 million people right now are living with type 1 diabetes. And the amount of what they call healthy years that are being lost due to this autoimmune condition is 22 on average. That's losing more than 2 full decades of healthy life. That is a lot. And it does sound like a lot until you take into account all other countries and you look at this globally, where the average number of healthy years lost climbs all the way to 32. So you go from 2 to 3 decades. And that is what makes Dr. Kaliova and Cyrus's work here so important, this study. Then you look at the rapidly rising rates of people with this disease, 1.5 million right now in the US, but by the year 2040, that's gonna climb all the way to 2.1 million. And to Dr. Kaliova's points, 1 in 4 people are rationing the amount of insulin they are using because of the cost of the drug. So if these people can somehow reduce the amount of insulin that they need, they can cost effectively live longer and healthier lives. And as evidenced again by this study, a big step there is changing the way that you eat. You give your body what it needs rather than these highly addictive junk foods that make up the bulk of the standard American diet. Sure, you may think you need that bag of chips or Rocky Road ice cream, but you don't. What you need are sweet potatoes. What you need is a banana. Which, by the way, the banana, you can make amazing ice cream alternatives with that. So it's not even like you're going without. You can also make some really incredible sweet potato chips that are whole food plant-based. No oil. You do not need the junk food. Your body wants to be healthy. Your body needs those whole foods in order to get there. And so if you give it what it truly needs, amazing things can happen with your health, including improving your blood sugar levels if you have type 1 diabetes. So there is a link for you to dive deeper into Dr. Kaliova's research. That study can be found in its entirety in the episode notes. And don't forget, coming up May 16th and 17th, I will be speaking at the Lifestyle Medicine Pathway to Health and Happiness Symposium in Rochester, Minnesota. That is presented by the Lotus Health Foundation, great organization. And there is a ticket link and a full list of speakers that can be found on their website, lotushealthfoundation.org, or click the link in the episode notes. Don't forget, also there, a great link for you to pick up your free tickets to see Dr. Neil Barnard speak May 10th in Rochester as well. As well as tickets to the Planted Expo in the beautiful city of Vancouver. That's coming up June 1st and 2nd. Can't wait to be back with the gang from Planted as well. All of those links are in the episode notes, as well as a link for you to follow and subscribe to the Exam Room Podcast by the Physicians Committee on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever it is that you get your shows. And when you do that, please also leave a 5-star rating and a nice review. And from time to time, we will read those reviews here on the show as well. But for today, that is going to wrap things up. I want to say thank you one more time to Dr. Hanna Kaliova for being here and helping to raise our health IQs as we look a little bit deeper at type 1 diabetes. And for everyone at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.